Jeff, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Really good. Thanks for having me. It's been about a year since I talked to you, but it's nice to be on again with you guys.
Well, Jeff, we want to talk a little bit today. You know, the World Juniors is such a, you know, it's from an outsider, it seems like such a, you know, unbelievable tournament. Just, you know, the intensity, like, you know, you played in the NHL ultimately, so, you know, that's the ultimate goal. But just talk about the dynamics of the World Juniors, from the training camp to, you know, maybe the nervousness leading up to cuts and then ultimately being in the tournament.
Well, I just remember, you know, obviously growing up and watching it even before I participated in it. It was a tournament that was watched. It was Canada's tournament where they watched over the holidays, and it was, you know, you just learned so much about it and the history and all the things that took place in it. And then to get an opportunity to even get into to go to my first trial when I was 18 and not make the team at that time, but just the experience, the overall, you know, pressure and intensity, and then, you know, getting that 3 a.m. phone call, that's not always the funnest. My first year, which I was rooming with Duncan Keith at the time, and he obviously stayed, and I had got cut that year. So it was, you know, a little bit of an eye opener, but also, you know, just shows you how hard it is to make it, because so many good players come up through that ranks and usually end up, you know, playing a game or two or having great careers in the NHL.
You know, you talk about that pressure, and how does Team Canada talk about how you manage that, you know, during or before even the camp starts for the World Junior team?
Well, I think so. They I remember them talking to us about it, just the pressure, but I don't think it is like it was today where you got all these psychologists and all like the preparation these players can do. Back then it seemed like you were kind of thrown into the fire a little bit and you had to defend for yourself and kind of, you know, manage things. So it was, you know, it's either, you know, you're last man standing kind of thing, and if you can deal with it, good, and if you can't, well, I guess that leads to your play on the ice. So you kind of got to hide those emotions and then kind of deal with the pressure, and but also know it's a short stint where you got to go out there and prove that you belong and make a name for yourself in a short time, right? So it's one of those things where you had to take it upon yourself and prepare properly.
Jeff Wojcik joins us. And so, Jeff, the next year, did your roommate, when you made the team, did your roommate also make the team, or did they get that dreaded call?
Yeah, that was the second year when I was 19. I ended up, that story, it's I was rooming with Trevor Daly, who I ended up actually playing with in Dallas and being a defense partner with for 2 years there. And, you know, the phone rang that day, and it was, or that night, sorry, and it was, like I said, 2:33 in the morning, and I'm like, oh man, here we go again. It's just, I don't want to answer this phone. you know, you're in with Trevor Daly, really good hockey player and had a great career, and but also when I was coming up through junior, I had a big name for myself, and so it was kind of, you know, I guess it was a 50-50, but I answered the phone, and I remember them. They said it's Trevor Daly there, so I said, yeah, he's right here. And I just remember how that feeling was for me the year before that, and to kind of have a little sigh of relief there was good. And I just was obviously after that call, and after I guess he had kind of left, it was exciting. And ended up phoning my family, and just the excitement was just ridiculous, because obviously the tournament was held in Halifax that year, so you were playing in your home country, and just the excitement that way was, and obviously a dream come true. So it was a special moment in my life for sure.
Talk a little bit about that first game. You know, the excitement you must be feeling, and you know, some of that determination to get that gold medal.
Oh, absolutely! It was, you know, back then I don't know how many people that rink held at the time, but it was jam-packed. There wasn't an empty seat in the building, and it was, you know, the excitement and just like the atmosphere, just the way they were, I don't know, they had a bunch of things like flags they were waving and everything. It was like a, you know, Stanley Cup final game almost, where it was just exploding in there. So just to be a part of that at such a young age, and, you know, to have everybody watching was special, and obviously the jitters and everything, almost, you know, almost thinking to yourself like, wow, I'm really here, right? It's can just imagine at that, even for the players nowadays, especially with the social media and everything. We didn't have quite the social media as we did back then as we do today. And obviously, you know, kids got to kind of hide that a little bit in a sense and be careful with that. But I also wish back then we had a little bit more, because obviously it was in Canada and the exposure was unreal.
Jeff Wojcicki joins us, and Jeff, you guys went undefeated in the round robin tournament, so you're the number one in the B pool. And then you get to that semifinal game against the USA. You played in some big games before, but you know that you talk about the atmosphere at the I think it's called the Halifax Metro Center. It's jam packed. It's standing room only, and you know you're 4-0. Obviously, you're pretty confident going into that game, but then you know it's against the US, a huge rivalry. And you guys squeak out the 3-2 victory. What do you remember from that game? Is there anything like specific in a moment of that game that stood out to you?
Well, just obviously, for myself was the, I guess when I scored the, was I guess it turned out to be the game winner with about 4 or 5 minutes to go in the game. And I just remember that goal, and I even watch it to this day, or, you know, a lot of people talk about it. I just remember Jordan 2-2 flying in on the forecheck, and I think he was going against, I think, Ryan Suter at the time. And you know, Ryan Suter kind of gave him a face wash, and he went flying, and 2-2 kind of settled it a bit, and the place erupted, and the puck ended up going behind the net. I think Wisniewski or someone rimmed it around the other side. It got intercepted as he was rimming it, and Matt Stage, and it picked it up, and I was kind of creeping into the slot, and he made a beautiful pass right through the middle. I don't know how he seen me or how it got through, but it got through in my eyes. I just remember they just lit up, and I just remember I'm like, well, I better do something with this thing. You know, so it was it was a special moment. It went in, and we ended up winning the game. I just remember the place going nuts, and it was obviously a mad scramble. After you score a goal like that, everybody just seems to just skate as fast as they can and hits that ice, and it's just a tackle. So it was a special moment, and obviously something I'll never forget.
Jeff Wojcicki joins us, talking his experience with the World Juniors. How do you manage the emotion, you know, from one game to another, or even period to another, in such a intense tournament?
Well, I think you have obviously great coaching at that time. Mark Hapscheid was our head coach, and he was really good. I had a really good relationship with him because he was, at that time, he was coaching the Kelowna Rockets. He was a Western Hockey League guy, and we had always good rivalries with them as when I was playing in Red Deer, and we had a good relationship. And he just seemed to really know how to handle that group in such a short tournament. He was always vocal. I just remember he was a really approachable guy, and he just kind of went with us where we were kind of, you know, always relaxed, and we had good leadership there. I think, Scotty Upshaw was our captain, and we had these guys who were veteran guys and guys who went on to have really good careers in the NHL that just, you know, you get to that stage where you're still young, but, you know, you believe that you should be there. And I think once you get to that semifinal and then you end up getting to the final, you kind of come together as a group, you gel, you have your team builders, and you just find a way to manage it and try to get the job done at the end of the day, knowing there's there's a lot of pressure and almost the country's counting on you to get a job done. So that's kind of what you want to do.
Jeff Wojcicki joins us, of course, World Juniors here in Edmonton this year and next year to kind of make up for no fans being in attendance this season. And, Jeff, you talk about you scored that game winner in the semifinal, and then, 2 days later, I think it might even be that, 2 days later, you're in the gold medal game, you're taking on Russia, you're leading 2-1 going into the third period. They score, I think, 4 minutes into the third to tie Grigorenko, and then they score the eventual game winner with the just – 8.5 minutes remaining. At that, I can't imagine just the devastation. You've probably lost a lot of hockey games in your life, and you talk about how you watch that one. How long did it take to kind of let that loss go? Because you mentioned, I think for young players, you're just like you're playing for your team, but man, you're playing for your whole country at that point.
Yeah, it's tough, obviously, and when you get to that stage, and just you know, in. You're playing against so many good hockey players. I know we played the Russians that year, and I just remember they were a big, strong team with, you know, tons of skill, and they were horses. And, you know, we had a good team too, where we had good size. You know, we could keep up with them, and, you know, just the battle kind of going into there, And then, you know, getting to that point where maybe we put it too far ahead of ourselves, you know, getting into that 2-1 lead. And then I just remember it kind of, we kind of fell apart towards the end of the third there. And it just kind of got away from us. And it just, the devastation, I guess, and like all the, you know, you're with that group for over a month together. And, you know, you build so many relationships and, you know, it's almost like you were together for a year. And to have it come down, and because the end goal is to win the gold medal, and we didn't get it done, unfortunately. But obviously, just it's a hard tournament to win on a yearly basis, and you got to take the positives out of it and understand that, you know, there's years where, you know, you win bronze, silver, you might not even get a medal. So it's, and even the gap's closing, you know, now the gap's closed so much with all these countries, it's so hard to get a medal now. You know, you just got to take the good with the bad.
Jeff, was there one player that you played at and you're looking back thinking, my God, this guy was such a stud in that tournament and went on to be a stud?
Well, I remember when that year was, well, obviously, Alex Ovechkin, he was 17 at the time in that tournament. Everybody was talking about him, how good he was. But he was so young at the time, because when I played, I was 19. But he was a guy that, you know, everybody talked about. And, you know, I had to keep your eyes on. And there was a lot of good players along the way. But I just remember, even on our team, we had Jordan Tootoo. I just remember everybody in Halifax wanted to hear about and see Jordan Tootoo play. Just the way he played, how physical he was, how he got the crowd going, just his energy. You know, even when I was playing junior against him when he was with Brandon, he, you know, it was all about Jordan Tootoo, how, you know, he was a game changer, right? And he was a guy that really brought energy to us and you know, ended up having a really good career in the NHL and that, but he was a guy that really stood out for me.
Well, I don't know if you've read his book or not, Jeff. He's pretty honest about it. But, man, yeah, everybody remembered the 2-2 train. And you know, he talked about in his book how, you know, being at the World Juniors for him might have been one of the greatest moments of his life in hockey, just how the crowd was just like, he kind of felt like a rock star at that tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. He was, like, I actually, he reached out to me the other day, and he was talking, because I had an interview with one of the guys who is on hockeyfights.ca, and he reached out to Jordan and was talking about our rivalry, how me and him always used to get in tussles. And he was a guy that was just, he was an interesting guy. He was a guy who, at that tournament, he was selling caribou jerky out of his hotel room. And he was just, it was unbelievable. he loved his culture and he loved doing what he did. He would always tell us stories about him, you know, he'd be fishing for seals and all this, and just his way of living was just hard, and it was the way he played with it. Like, he could just tell his forearms and everything. He was just like, he was so thick and he was just all full of muscle. And he was a guy that just brought like so much and so much, you know, intensity, and, you know, he earned that just by the way he played.
Oh, that's classic, selling caribou. Did you buy any caribou jerky, or did his teammates get
free
stuff?
I think he ended up giving us a few slices there when he was there. But he was, like I said, he loved doing it, and, you know, we supported him, and it was kind of almost like we was something we talked about every day, and we still talk about to this day.
Oh, now, as a guy who played, and you talk about playing in Canada, like, the tournament's great wherever you go, but the crowd, like, you played, you know, when you go to pro, like, guys are able to maybe control their emotions a little bit better than 18 and 19-year-olds are, just like we are in the real world. And, you know, you talk about the intensity there. How difficult do you think the World Juniors is going to be this year with no crowd? Right, like, is it going to be up to the guys, or is it not going to be that hard because they're so amped up to play, especially having not played in a few months, that it won't change that much?
Well, I think still, you know, even I think having it, I think it'll change a bit, but I don't think it'll change that much. Knowing, like, you know, they're playing in a great place in Rogers Place, just the, you know, what they had there with the NHL with the bubble, the hockey was great, everything seemed to run smooth, and, you know, I think it's going to be work out fantastic how they're going to do it. And they got the facilities around there. Everything's right there. And the way these players can kind of interact and and be, you know, in their own space, but still know at the end of the day they're all fighting for that one trophy and that medal. So I think they're gonna, you know, find a way to get it done, because it's not like it's not a really long tournament. So once they get going and they get into the battle, I think it's gonna go great, and there'll be some good hockey to watch over the holidays.
Well, Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. I guess quickly, you did have a little time with the Crusaders this year. Are you doing like Zoom? What are you doing with your young players to keep them sharp right now?
Actually, we have a Zoom call tonight at 7:30 with the group, and just to wish them a Merry Christmas. But it's been tough on them. It's been a year where, you know, it's trying to keep them motivated, but also, you know, kind of being realistic with them, kind of knowing what's going on. And you know, there's speculations maybe coming back in the new year sometime. We'll find out more about that in the near future. But I hope we can get going, just, you know, for the players' sake. You know, guys who, you know, looking for those college scholarships or draft eligible. Like, it's, you want to see those kids succeed and do good, because you know how hard it is day in and day out to get to that point and stay sharp.
Yeah, I bet you. Well, thanks so much for this, Jeff. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to you and yours, and hopefully the AJHL, like a lot of other levels of hockey, will be back up and running in 2021.
You bet. Thanks, guys, for having me, and Merry Christmas.